They may not know everything about sports, but the view from their couch is pretty good. So kick back and enjoy a brew, because you know they already are. Here is Eric Dorsch.
What Justin really meant to say was, go blue.
Russ Ivanek.
Taking out of my logical mind for a minute. He's just fun to watch.
And Justin Marcus.
Just park the khaki elephant in the room.
This is Armchair Sports Talk.
All right, welcome into Armchair Sports Talk. Bring in Russ Ivanek and Justin Marcus, because the start of this one's not going to be too much fun. Russ, how you doing today?
Well, it's Thursday, so I'm doing okay for Thursday. I can't speak about earlier this week.
Thanks for dating the show, Russ. Just so you know, we're posting this on Friday, but Russ wanted to let you know a day.
Pulling behind the curtain, letting them see what happens here.
What really goes on. Yeah. Eric's so slow at producing this thing that it takes him a day just to get it out.
Dude, like grace period, man. It's not that bad.
Justin, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey, happy New Year's Eve.
Just so you know, we all got what we wanted for Christmas. It was a new head coach of the Detroit Lions. Let's just go right to it. Justin said earlier, pull the Band-Aid off. This is a big Band-Aid to pull off. Michigan, I completely lost my page too, Jay, because I'm showing you things to help you look smarter. There it is. Michigan loses to Ohio State 62-39. An offense that hadn't done shit all year puts up 62 points on what allegedly was the best defense in the country. Justin's so happy about this. Russ, you and I saw each other later that night, and a couple tears were shed. It was a pretty rough one. I mean, honestly, yeah. By the way, my dog snoring in the background, if anybody can actually hear that. That's the great thing about doing this together in live. We haven't done this together in live in a little bit, so it's fun. Russ, first question. Can you take anything good out of that game?
No. No, frankly. This was supposed to be their chance. Right, Justin played it up a lot the last time that we talked, and he was exactly right that, you know, if not now, when? Right? Shit the bed. There's really no two ways about it. You were the favorite. Destiny in your hands. Already in the top four. Chance to go to the playoff for the first time in school history. And you gave up 30% of the points that you've given up for the entire season in one game. 211 points on the season. Gave up 62. How? This was supposed to be the best pass defense in the entire country, and Haskins throws for 396 yards. It was embarrassing the whole way through. They didn't forget the game. They didn't win a quarter. They got outscored all four quarters. What the hell happened?
Yeah, it was. And I said it after the game that I went to. Indiana to me felt like a little bit of a precursor. Like we got off to a slow start, really managed to just barely pull it off kind of thing. And it was like, I don't like doing that and then going up against Ohio State, because this is a rivalry game. It's always this way. Like you said, Haskins, 20-31 for 396 and six touchdowns.
Six.
Michigan boy Weber, 13 carries for 96 yards and a touchdown. It's really tough. It really is. And Jay, I know how, like, I'll let you actually talk now. You get to be part of this. It's got to make you a little bit happy because of the fact that you guys actually had a chance to beat Ohio State a couple weeks ago. A couple slip-ups take you out of it. But, I mean, as a non-Michigan fan, it's a TV, Justin. It has pictures. They move.
In his defense, it is fascinating.
It's awesome. Well, it's the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson, so it's a good time.
I just meant moving pictures. That's fascinating.
For you as an outsider looking in, what are you taking out of this game? And two, how much are you just so happy to see Harbaugh fall against Ohio State another time?
So I'm leaving my state bias at the door, because I was hoping to be sitting here saying, yeah, we're going to Indy, and yeah, you lost to Ohio State. That was going to be the highlight of my year, but it's not happening. I want to honestly be able to say that if I was to look at Michigan without a bias, my hopes for them, if I had any hopes, was to go to a Big Ten championship game. Like that, to me, you guys getting just right there and falling apart, one, sure, I'm happy, but two, that was my expectation of what you know, if you guys were going to have a successful season, it was to almost go play for a Big Ten championship because you guys haven't done it in forever. So that was my goal ultimately. But for me, like, I get a little bit of enjoyment out of it, but at the same time, like, you know, I try to check that at the door. So, I mean, trust me, Michigan State blows. And part of me is still at 2:13 in the morning watching us lose to Arizona State. So, Mike, my season was over a long time ago, and I haven't enjoyed football at all this year.
But I do want to perk up your day. You are going – you're going to go to Indy because some of you guys, I got to assume, are going to get invited to the Combine in April. So you're going to get to at least go to the – State will go to the Indy. It's just not in the way you wanted to go to Indy. But I have nowhere to talk because Michigan isn't going there either. But, yeah, it's not a good thing. And for me, the big deal was – I mean, Shea Patterson, by all accounts, had a normal Shea Patterson game. 20 of 34, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception is what it is. Where I kind of lost it was you get so far behind. You need offense quick. So obviously you need to start moving the ball in a little bit more air raid fashion. We kept going to the run that just was not working. Caron Higdon, 100 yards almost every game this year, 15 carries, 72 yards. I think I texted Russ at some point. It honestly felt like we were watching the Lions rushing attack in Michigan uniforms where we have no business still running the football, but for some odd reason, we're running the football.
Well, it was, I think it was a case of Jim Harbaugh getting outcoached, frankly. They've had one game plan, and it's worked very, very well, but it's part of these slow starts and how some of these teams like Rutgers, when they stayed in the game, was because you run the ball 60, 70% of the time until the defense gets tired, and then you can start to throw the ball. And Ohio State wasn't getting tired because they weren't staying on the field, and Michigan's defense wasn't able to dictate play. So it broke the game plan. They didn't adjust. They started to try to, you know, God help the defense there. They're switching between man and zone coverage, just trying to hold up some of these deficiencies that were apparently exposed for the first time. Yet another out-coaching thing. If no one else found the weakness, it's probably not a weakness for your players. It's probably something that your coaches are doing or that the other team found. And it just glaringly looked like they couldn't adjust and build on anything that they've done. They were stuck in a rut.
And I think the one thing that doesn't help is that you didn't have to adjust all season long.
No.
We thought Northwestern would be difficult. We thought Wisconsin would be much better than they are. Penn State was a joke. State was a joke. You guys never were put in a position to ever even adjust mid-game that you didn't know how to... Like, Don Brown didn't know what to do.
No. No, you're exactly right. It was a case of all year we came up and just worked the body, and then the arm dropped and you crossed over the face and ran away in the third and fourth quarter. And finally found an opponent that just wasn't going to drop their arm. It was just going to keep punching you in the face to the tune of more points than any team in this rivalry has ever scored against the other. Ever. Ever. No team has scored more than 50. Ohio State got 62.
You should have an advantage over OU just based on how many wins they have within the top 15. I really think OSU has a better schedule and a better... what you guys don't understand right now is Eric's wife is glaring at me. I don't know why. I think there might
Oklahoma
be some...
Oklahoma super fan.
OU just didn't have the best resume, I think, so I think OSU would get in.
Now, we're going to cover it big time, but I have to sleep here tonight, so I got to at least do a little bit of talking. Yes, Oklahoma, and I told Aaron this, Oklahoma's defense is horrible.
Terrible.
Like, it's super bad. I think it's almost in like it barely is in the top 100 in the country. I think it's at like 90 or something.
394 points allowed. More than double what Alabama and Clemson have allowed.
Yeah. But on the flip side, that offense is high octane. Mm-hmm. Like Kyler Murray has got that offense just going. So it's one of those things where I think it kind of depends. What are you looking for in a college football playoff? Do you really want to see a 3-0 game? No, you want to see touchdowns. You kind of want to see a college version of the Rams-Chiefs game, where it's just gut punch. Whoever has that ball last, probably going to win this game.
Well, do you know what the over-under is for that game, for OU in Texas?
I got to think it's somewhere around 80.
77.5.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah.
That's telling on defense on both sides.
Who's getting points, though? Texas?
Oh, I do not know who's...
Uh-oh, scramble drill.
I don't know who's favored.
Well, we'll keep talking, but I mean... honestly, you want to see a shootout kind of thing. And if OU gets in, more than likely playing Alabama, that seems like a great situation because that offense is big, and it's a battle of the Heisman frontrunners. It's Tua against Kyler, and I think it'd be a great one. Now, don't get me wrong. We've all said this all year. Everyone else is playing for second. Alabama, in theory, is going to be the national champion. But the question has to be asked. You got to assume Georgia's going to be a one-loss team. Ohio State's a one-loss team. OU's a one-loss team. So if Georgia loses to Alabama in the SEC championship, who's getting in here? Someone's got to fall.
Does Ohio State get in if they win the Big Ten? No. No, I don't think they do. You lost to Purdue by 29.
But see, what I don't
Get out of the playoff.
A lot of people are a lot of people are saying the win against Michigan negates the Purdue loss.
Wrong.
How?
Wrong.
How?
Yeah. No, I don't agree with that at all. But jump into the other thing. I actually think Georgia can stay in this if they stay close to Alabama in this game. I mean, this is a team you want to look at the points, 4 points against point differentials, right? Those four that are currently the top four right now are all sitting around plus 200, plus 250 in point differential. Oklahoma, well, they've given up twice as many points as any of them. Oh, let's put it that way. The point differential is a lot closer, even if they do have a prolific offense. So one versus four, SEC championship, if it's the one and the four and you're the four, aren't you supposed to lose? Why are we penalizing them for that if they keep it close? If this is a one-touchdown game, I say we keep them in there.
Well, that sounds 27-24, Georgia gets in. 47-7, Georgia's out.
Yeah, keep them out.
I think it's – I mean, again, we're a little bit deeper into here. Do you got some – you got a number for me here on who's getting the points?
Yeah, they're giving Oklahoma 7.5.
All right, so Oklahoma –
plus minus.
Oklahoma's spotting a touchdown. Okay,
that's
fair. Can I mention one thing?
Sure.
You know who's screwing all this up? Is Notre Dame. If Notre Dame had to play a conference championship game, they're not sitting there at three and screwing all this up between OU, OSU, and Georgia. Like just they're not being judged on the same playing field. It's not fair.
Well, and it's the same people keeping UCF out of the playoff because they're in a shitty division not playing anybody.
UCF has no business in the playoff.
Not this year.
That's like
last
Boise
year,
State
we had
making the playoff every year because back in the day Boise State ran train on Grand Valley Tech or something like that.
Was there four teams better than UCF last year? Yeah, probably. Is there this year now the quarterback's hurt? Absolutely. I'm not saying they should be in, but we're using that same logic to say a team that isn't even affiliated with any conference can get in just because we don't have to play as many or as tough opponents as anybody else. Put them in a conference or keep them out of the playoff. I'm in a pretty hard line there.
I've said that before. Notre Dame is just, they're getting lucky here by not having to play in a conference championship. Stick them, I don't give a crap. Stick them in the ACC title game.
Something.
Stick
them
in like,
something.
Crazy I don't think it exists anymore. Does the Mountain West still exist?
I imagine the mountains out west do.
Well,
I don't
know
about
the conference.
I
mean. Like, I'm pretty sure the Mountain West does exist. Stick them in that for all I care. I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
They would never, this is my opinion, they would never survive the Big Ten, in my opinion.
No, they wouldn't.
I don't
be
think
a
Notre Dame
would.
No, they would never, they would end up, this Notre Dame team would probably be a 9-3, 10-2.
Yeah, I think 10-2
team.
Is probably fair.
Because Ohio State was better than we thought. Michigan State was, and we're going to talk about them right now, was better than we thought. They had struggles, but Michigan State still managed to a winning record to go into a bowl game. Justin, I'm pretty sure you probably didn't watch too much of this game. We were at your house, so I know you didn't watch a lot of it.
I didn't watch a single second.
That's fine. Aaron, I'm 4 feet away from you. Stop texting me. I need my phone. Knock
she off. Is just trying to be polite and not interfere with your vocal cords, you know.
Would you like to say something about OU?
I will in a minute.
Kyler
Michigan
Murray.
State 14, Rutgers 10.
Yikes.
This game, to me, this final score, just kind of seems like a total sum up of Michigan State's year. They got wins, but they were never very comfortable with the wins they got. Fair to say?
Very much so.
I want to cover this game real quick, but I want to ask you one question. Both guys walk in healthy in spring. Who's the starting quarterback next year?
Lewerke.
You think it's Lewerke?
Yeah.
I think it's got to be Rocky Lombardi.
No,
I think you've seen the best of Lewerke, and it wasn't that great.
Homeboy needs to get his head on straight. And I don't know if it was a product of him being hurt and for some reason still trotting him out there, but Lewerke's got, he needs to be out there playing for us. And I have no problem with that whatsoever if we can learn how to do everything else correctly. I have a very rough time with this team. There's a reason why I got the hoodie that I did back in 2015 when we went to go face Bama and actually get shithoused. But it's like, that was our prime moment. That was if not when, or if not now, when. That was our moment. We had that. And now we gotta restructure and rebuild it. So I'm putting Lewerke out there week one against whoever the hell we're facing.
Okay. Ross?
I'm just going to say the best that we've seen of Rocky Lombardi is his hair. That's true. That's it.
Sunshine.
Give me Lewerke. I think there's something wrong with Lewerke this year. His play declined over the year. And
well,
give him an offseason to get right.
Because of how we talked about it, I personally think the throwing the ball 60 times a game for 5 weeks straight
don't help.
Did him in. Because you got to think he's still got to throw the ball in practice, too. You know, it's going to wear on you a little bit. Hey, goalie, go out here and block 40 shots a game, and then in practice we're going to just do nothing but shoot at you. Something's going to start hurting. I'll ask this question. Starting next year, because we got to look forward to spring here now for these two teams. Is there a battle for starting running back? Hayward, LJ Scott, or does LJ automatically get it just because he's LJ Scott?
What year is LJ in? Do you know?
They had to redshirt him, so I'm pretty sure LJ's done after next year.
I mean, knowing Mark, it's going to be LJ. I mean, we're just going to ground and pound and stick to the same things that we always do. And this is part of my problem, like, globally, they just need to change up what they're doing. Like, it worked for Michigan running the ball and time of possession this year versus your opponents that you face, which is great. We can't do that. We can't come out week one, two, and three and just run the ball and not show anything cute and just try to play this all coy version. Like, no, we have to evolve. And if they're not going to do that, we're going to have another season like this. So it's probably going to be LJ, and it's probably going to be Lewerke, and I'm probably going to be very pissed off.
That's fair. You got a lot of hatred going right now, buddy. It's okay.
I've said this 3 weeks in a row. I have not enjoyed football this year. The only football game I have enjoyed was the Rams and the Chiefs. That was the most fun I've had watching football. So it's been hard.
It's been a rough year. The flip side to it, I think you got to say, is you guys got off to a very sputtering start and somehow managed to salvage. I mean, winning season, you're going to a bowl. You got Lewerke coming back. You got LJ Scott coming back. At least there's some upside to maybe if everybody stays healthy, we'll see the Michigan State we thought we were going to see this year. I could be wrong, though. This is Mark D'Antonio. He's an evil individual. There's nothing good about him. So we could see nothing. But speaking of, you know, I pointed out before, we get into the college football playoff, I wanted to ask the one question. I've asked you both already. It seemed like a unanimous yes, but I'll ask it again. Are Michigan Wolverines beat UNC last night by a pretty nice fashion?
Oh, yeah, something I can be happy about.
Yeah, because I know it's going to bother Justin because he's got to actually admit it. Justin, is John Beilein, the head coach of the U of M basketball team, the best coach in Michigan sports, including the pro teams at this moment?
I think you need to give me a moment to go see how U of D Jesuit is playing in basketball right now. Just want to, I haven't done enough field research to maybe Eastern Michigan, see what they're doing, see what's happening up in the Bay Area.
They beat Purdue even though Ohio State couldn't. So yeah, I guess so.
I haven't put in the work yet to really see what's going on. Maybe go see what's up in the UP. Jury's still out.
Michigan Tech's got a lot of solid talent going this year. No, but come on, really. He's the best coach in Michigan sports right now.
Please don't badger the witness.
Yeah. What do you want me to say? Patricia hasn't done anything. Dwayne Casey, no. Blashill, God, no. He needs to go. And D'Antonio, no. Izzo, no. I mean, like, yeah, Beilein is... I enjoy watching Michigan basketball. I've said this multiple times. We all went out to eat and we watched Michigan face, I think it was Arizona in the national championship.
Louisville.
Thank you. I knew it was a bird. I enjoyed the living hell.
Arizona is the Wildcats?
Distant relative of the birds.
Yes, that four-legged bird with no wings.
We'll cover that next week. Okay. It's a bird. But, yeah, to answer your question more directly, yeah, Beilein has something going that Izzo probably wishes he could do every year. Izzo hasn't done anything productive in a while, so Michigan basketball is something. Ever since you had that one little white dude shooting threes,
Stauskas.
Michigan's going places this year for basketball.
All right, come on, Jay. It's real easy. We'll show you how to do it. Sing it with me. One, two, you know what to do. Hail to... Come on, you can sing it. It's okay.
I believe you are trying to induce the brown note against me right now.
That's dangerous. He's sitting on your couch. He I don't is. Know if you want to go he further is. With that.
We're getting rid of this couch anyway, so it's fine. And it's a brown couch, so we're okay.
Blend in.
Russ.
Yes.
Now, we pretty much talked it through already inadvertently, but college football playoff is... It's upon us. I asked about Georgia, but on the off chance it happens, does a one-loss Alabama team, Alabama's pretty much guaranteed a spot in this college football playoff. Yeah, they're a lock.
Even if Georgia runs them over.
So you're saying not that it'll ever happen, but a 47-7 Georgia win keeps Alabama at least at 4?
Yes.
And gets into the playoff here?
There's no way we will see a college football playoff without Bama unless there's just a complete, you know, fire at their school and everything just melts to the ground.
Now, Russ, I'm hoping you have this because this is the one due diligence I didn't actually do. Do we know who Clemson has to play in the ACC?
Pitt.
I've got Pittsburgh.
So that's
on
a
here.
Win. That's a lock.
They're 7-3.
Yeah.
They're great.
Ooh, Pitt Panthers.
Ooh, Pitt Panthers.
Not okay. A bird.
I think they're a bird. We'll talk about that later, though.
They're a mammal. Let's just do it real quick. Russ, college football playoff. Who are the four teams playing in those games?
So I want Georgia to make it, not because I don't want Oklahoma to make it, but because I want, you know, someone new that isn't Notre Dame to be in the damn playoff. That'd be nice. Who was? You sure about that? They did. Well, I'll remove my head from my ass.
Not a bird.
I still want someone new. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, they played the national championship where Tua came alive.
Yeah. No, that's right. I'll pull my head out of my ass for this one. Or maybe I'll just blank it out because Bama's playing, and it's just... where is the parity in this playoff, by the way? That I'm even talking about this, that we could have a repeat of three. Maybe, you know... Yeah, it can be three at the most, repeat from last year. But no, it'll be Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and then I'm going to guess Oklahoma, because as much as I think if that's a one-touchdown game, Georgia stays at 4, I don't think it will be, because it's Bama. Damn it.
Who do you got in the championship?
Oh, in the championship? Oh, so it would be Bama playing Oklahoma, Clemson playing Notre Dame. I'll take Bama, Clemson. Damn it, I don't want to take Bama. I'm going to take Clemson because I don't want to take Bama.
To win the national championship?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because that's I'm not fair. Taking Bama, damn it.
Okay, that's fair. Justin?
So Pitt's going to come in and they're just going to destroy Clemson. No. So Bama.
Name one player that plays for Pitt because I can't.
Arm.
Dude, your former defensive coordinator is their head coach. Can you tell me his name?
Pat Narduzzi. Don't fuck with me.
That was a doozy.
It was a doozy. So I wish Notre Dame was not in here because they don't have to fight for a dang thing this upcoming weekend. So that pisses me off.
I thought they were the Fighting Irish.
Oh, they're only fighting less one game a year. So no, I don't. That's a whole other problem. It'll get fixed. I guarantee you they'll fix it. They'll force them because you need conference winners to go to an 8-team playoff. That has to happen.
Ooh, we're already talking about 8 teams, huh?
8. Yeah. 8. 6 conferences, 2 at large. Mm-hmm. Have fun.
Would you keep conference title games if you go to 8?
Yes. That's your ticket
in. So
we're
talking about maybe a 15-game season?
Willy Wonka sends out 6 golden tickets a year, and that's how you get into the playoffs. So Bama at 1, Clemson at 2, Notre Dame at 3, and then I got OSU. I think OSU is going to turn it on at the right time. OU's only loss this year was to Texas. And even though Texas lost to Maryland at the start of the year, the under-over is disgusting. There's going to be no defense in that game. It's going to be absolutely ridiculous. OU might win and beat Texas, but OU is not getting in. OSU will be my fourth. I would love to see OSU take down Bama, but it's probably going to be a Bama-Notre Dame finish, unfortunately. And if that's the case, I'll be rooting for Notre Dame. Go Irish. Oh. Ugh.
What is wrong with you?
That hurt to hear
you?
The end of.
What it hurt to say.
What is wrong with you?
There's a lot, dude. We can't talk about it. I
told would
you
rather
this.
Drink a Keystone Light that's been sitting out in 100-degree weather for 3 days than ever say that.
Oh, ooh, Keystone.
You're so smooth.
Yeah.
Oh, he was not making it.
There's not a lot of variation to put in here. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame.
As he walks away from his wife.
Georgia.
Ooh.
In the college football playoff.
Go Dogs.
It's a repeat of last year's national championship. Or actually, it can't be. What am I thinking?
Yeah, it can't be. It'd be repeating the first.
It would
the
actually.
Semis.
Then you know what? You know what? It'll be Bama, Notre Dame. But that's going to be one of those Bama beatdowns. You're going to realize Notre Dame had no business being where they were this whole year.
Notre Dame's best win is only against Michigan.
I want...
You suck.
Dude. I want to see Oklahoma in this college football playoff. I just think that... I think this committee's realizing they need to expand this because we're starting to see the same six teams every single year. And... as we've seen in, you know, in the NBA and in the NFL, it gets a little boring when you're watching, you know, the same six teams play over and over and over again. We've had, what, 8 consecutive years of LeBron James in the NBA Finals and, like, 5 consecutive years of Cleveland Golden State in the NBA Finals.
Well, it won't be that way this year, at least.
No, it won't.
Reminds me of, like, when you go to Chuck E. Cheese, all you know is Chucky. You don't know any of those other rats that are chilling up on stage playing their old banjos.
Those other rats? That's
terrifying. Exactly. See, this is why what you're saying is true. They need to expand upon it because we're all seeing the same stuff. All we're seeing is Chucky.
It's... yeah, so that's why I think it's... I like that. That was good. Yeah, I think it's going to be a Bama, Notre Dame... national championship, and I think you're going to see why Bama is that superior. It makes the most sense. While we're with it, before we leave college football, we got to talk about the Heisman voting because it's getting close. It's right there. I did some due diligence and printed out everybody a nice little piece of paper. I know how my wife feels because she reminds me pretty much every day about this.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. All year we've been saying it's Tua, it's Tua, it's Tua. But looking at the numbers, which are right in front of you, I got to ask the question, how is it not Kyler as the front runner lock to win the Heisman Trophy this year, Russ?
Well, I think if you're going to give it to Kyler, you might be talking to us soon. You're welcome. It's going to be a slam dunk that it's a quarterback. We'll start there. 7 of the 8. Last Heisman winners have been quarterbacks, and it's going to have to be a top 15 ranked guy because 25 of the last 26 Heisman ranked or Heisman winners have had their team finish in the top 15. So both of them check those boxes. When's the last time we could say anything good about an Alabama quarterback, though?
Has Alabama ever had a quarterback? I always thought they just stuck a running back in there.
Yeah, a running back who, you know, once threw a baseball or something. They thought he'd be decent there. And I think that's a big, big part of it. Not taking anything away from Kyler Murray. The guy deserves to be in the conversation. I think it's really only between the two of them. He has a lot of the better stats, but this is Tua's Alabama, and that's something very special to be able to point out a quarterback at Alabama leading the nation. We talked about how dominant they are, and this is Tua's team. So I think that it's almost become a novelty of, oh, wow, we can actually give it to a Bama quarterback, and I don't think they'll be able to resist doing something like that.
Do you think this SEC Big 12 games coming this weekend are going to kind of be the decider? They're going to put the big microscope, because you got to think it's Kyler and Tua.
Yeah.
So I got to think, yeah, these two games are the microscope, because if these two both go out there and throw, you know, 17 to 27 for 350 and 3 touchdowns apiece, you're going to have a real hard time making a decision here. It's one of those close things.
Yeah, and then to see if Tua performs against number 4 Georgia to lock everything up. Yeah, that's going to really shine.
A Georgia team that I don't think should be number 4, but they're number 4.
But they're there right now.
Justin, this is pretty simple. I like to make the questions easy for you.
Gracias, señor.
I know how hard it is for you.
Who hit the Spanish button?
You're casting a vote tomorrow. Who are you casting the vote for?
That would be Mr. Tagovailoa. I mean, it just he looks more efficient on paper. The big thing that's popping up on the page for me right now is it would probably make Monica from Friends really happy, is the number 7. Kyler Murray has 7 interceptions on the year. I mean, I don't have the sorry, Russ is dying over here. I don't have the attempts that are happening right now, but like Tagovailoa only has 2 interceptions on the year. Murray, though he is effective, he's got 7. So, I mean, I would love to see more attempts maybe to dive a little deeper into it, but I think, I mean, Alabama hasn't had like the best of schedules, but they're dominant in so many ways where the quarterback doesn't have to be as efficient. But when you look at Tua, I'd have to vote for Tua.
Okay. Now, I have to ask, because you did just go through this perfectly, but, I mean, if you really take the fine-tooth comb to it, Kyler's outpassed him by, like, 500 yards. The touchdowns are almost mirrors of each other. The interceptions you pointed out, but you go down the rest of this. The completion percentages are 0.3 apart. The QB rating is, you know, 2.2 apart. Obviously, Kyler's got him in the running game. Obviously, the rushing touchdowns and yards per... Why is it YPC?
That's yards per carry.
I figured it would have been A, yards per attempt, but oh well.
And the slow clap from the back. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're talking about your guy. What are you slow clapping for?
It actually stands for young perennial chickens.
Young perennial chickens. This is a very, very close race. So, Russ, you're casting a vote tomorrow.
Yeah.
Where are you casting it?
Tua. I will say Kyler, yes, the stats are undeniable. I'll also say he's had to be, and he gets far more opportunity to be. You know, it's not to say that anything that he has done is easy, because it's not, but it's easier to put up those numbers when you have to score 50 to win a game.
Okay, that's fair.
Now, I might be kicked out of this home after saying this, but if OU loses to Texas, does that kind of put the nail in the coffin for that? I mean, because their only loss is to Texas this year.
A loss to Texas takes them, as they promote it on TV right now, a loss to Texas takes them totally out of the playoff, and I think a loss to Texas drops Kyler. I would be very curious to find out the last time someone's won the Heisman on a 2-loss team where they lost to the same team twice in their conference. It's a deep dive. I know. It's a deep dive. I'm not asking
you. I'll get my snorkel.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to pull out the bag of tricks. But this right here to me will show you what 12 weeks of college football can do for you. Why? Sitting here. I can see you.
I'm still stuck on Friends.
I know.
Sorry.
You are.
7.
No one told him life was going to be this way.
This right here will explain to you how 12 weeks of college football can totally change your perspective, because if I remember correctly, I chose Tua Tagovailoa to win the Heisman this year.
You sure did. I think you were the only one.
It's actually pronounced Tagovailoa.
If that's how you want to pronounce it, you go ahead and do it. I'm going to go back on that. I'm going to pick Kyler Murray to actually win the Heisman this year. And honestly, it's looking at the numbers and having seen him play. Tua's playing on an NFL first-round lottery pick team. It's unfair. Their entire offensive line, probably half their specialty players, receivers and running backs, will all be first- or second-round picks. So really, if you think about it, all Tua has to go do out there, and he's done it most of this year, is go out there and complete 15 passes. If he can complete 15 passes, he's golden. Like they're going to win the game because that defense isn't going to give up much. Kyler's actually had to play with no defense. Sorry, Aaron. And he's had to keep them scoring consistently, and he's done that. So if you look at it, Kyler, to me, has to be the front runner to win this Heisman because he's actually had to be the best player every time he steps on the field. Tua has been one of the best players, but it's not totally on Tua's shoulders every time they step out on the field with Alabama. So that's where I feel about it, and we'll see if that changes.
Oh, also, Lamar Jackson won the Heisman on a 4-loss Louisville team. Didn't lose the same team twice, but they did lose 4.
Yeah, but if I remember correctly, I think that was a stretch for Lamar Jackson winning that Heisman. I'm pretty sure that should have been – Baker should have won back-to-back Heismans, if I remember the stats correctly. But yeah, you love Baker, okay? You can stop rolling your eyes every time we say Baker Mayfield.
I love that man.
I know you do. Did you have something to say about my little Kyler rant? You looked like you want to say
no,
something.
No, I was just I'm trying to think about the Heisman. Is Heisman more a MVP or is it more like individual performance? Because
the Heisman
I think there's a
is
difference.
The best player in college football that
okay,
year.
So if it's not relative to the team, that kind of debunks your theory of that he was more valuable to the team.
No, I'm saying Kyler Murray was the best player in college football when he stepped on the field. The numbers back it. Tua was good, but Tua just had to play consistent. Tua never had to ball out for, 400 yards and like, you know, six touchdowns in any game. Kyler had to do that. If you're going to say the Heisman is the best player in college football for that year, I don't see how Kyler Murray isn't the best player in college football for that year. By the way, I'm pretty sure I had Bryce Love as my backup or my second pick.
Yeah.
Does he even play football anymore?
What is a Bryce Love?
It's a very, very fair question. He was a running back for Stanford.
I just have the What Is Love song stuck in my head now.
That's fine. Man, that guy's draft stock has to have taken a massive hit this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's bad.
Him and Rashawn Gary should take a drop, too, because where have both of them been?
That's fair. That's fair. All right, so now let's move on to the other team that's causing us nothing but headaches, the Detroit Lions. I was going to pull up the stats. I was going to go through it, but I think I can make it quick. We lost to a backup quarterback who's only played three games in his entire 10-year NFL career. The one bright note I did here, and I heard driving home today on 97.1, the Lions have like a top five run defense in the last 4 weeks. Teams are only averaging 50 yards a game against us rushing. I'll ask Justin first because I love his cynical responses. Is that enough to be a bright side, or does the previous X amount of games of us giving up 487 yards a game rushing kind of take a little bit of the happiness away from being a top five run defense right now?
When you put lipstick on a pig, it is still a pig, damn it. There is nothing that this team can produce outside of W's to make me happy. And that's just my honest opinion. We did one thing right. Good job. You put your left shoe on. You're still not wearing your right shoe, and you're trying to walk outside in mud. So until they can put it all together and actually win, then I'll find bright spots.
Okay, that's fair.
To build off that shoe analogy, it was more we had our right shoe on because the pass defense was working, and we took the right shoe off so that we could put the left shoe on, right? Because now the run defense is working, and the pass defense is getting carved up by Chase Daniel and Cam Newton, who was throwing to the fourth and fifth wide receivers on that team 2 weeks ago. It's, yeah, can't just have both, apparently.
One foot at a time.
And as if things couldn't get any worse, because you wouldn't think they could, Marvin Jones, he's done for the year. Yeah. Still no word on Kerryon. At least I haven't heard anything. I don't know.
Nope.
Yep. So you got to start wondering, Russ, who the hell is starting on offense for this football team come Sunday?
Apparently LeGarrette Blount and his 88 yards and two touchdowns, which, hey, thanks for showing up, buddy.
Zach Zenner.
It's about time.
Week 13? Come on.
Yeah. So if the Lions need to start losing to get a better draft pick for when we go to Nashville and have the 2019 draft, I'm fine with that. I just go ahead and lose. I don't care what they put out there. Protect your valuable assets. Put out your scrubs. Let Zach Zenner play. Let anyone from the like. I know it's a very like cynical approach, but you know, again, guys will go out there and ball for a paycheck. But what are we really competing for? The Rams are going to house us this weekend, and it's only going to make us feel even worse. So,
I would like to see someone establish themselves as the number two receiver now that Jones is out behind Galladay here.
Do you think Wayne Ellington could be that
Bruce
guy?
Bruce Ellington? No.
Bruce Ellington. I'm sorry. No. Bruce Ellington.
Bruce Wayne? We have Bruce Wayne?
Bruce Wayne Ellington.
Batman?
Yeah, I think that's
coming out of the slot.
Ellington, you don't think that's the guy?
I do not. I mean, there's a reason that Arizona gave up on him. There's a reason that he's been bouncing around. I mean, he's a big guy. Maybe he's your fourth. Maybe he's your fifth. Has some return ability to him. Would I love to be proved wrong? Absolutely. But, you know, it'd be nice to see that. It'd be nice to see the offensive line actually show some cohesion without TJ Lang in there, because they have been an absolute sieve since he went down, including the game he went down. So do wins and loss matter to me as much right now? No, because the season's out of reach anyways. But let's see some development. Let's see someone go out and grab a job and show that we, you know, can build players up.
Real quick, because I remember you and I talking about it. When they traded Golden, I said that a guy I thought perfectly could step up in this role, because he's not really a place player here and we don't really know what we're going to expect out of him. Would you kind of like to maybe see, because the opportunity is there now, Brandon Powell step into the role that we kind of need him to be, as that slot speed receiver?
Absolutely. I would be ecstatic if next week Bruce Ellington gets put on the bench, because Brandon Powell starts just showing up and is doing Golden Tate impressions left and right and center. That'd be ideal.
I agree with you, but we're kind of forgetting about the one piece of this puzzle that has to show up too, and that's Stafford. Having three touchdowns and four interceptions in the last three games is not what I want out of a quarterback. So he has to show up in order to give our wide receivers a chance to show up as well.
All right, but I agree with you. We need a lot out of Stafford. But now do the math here, Jay. You're the quarterback for the Detroit Lions. Going into this season, we even said going into this season, with the players that were there at week one, we had one of the best wide receiver combos in the NFL with Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. Not to mention, I know I keep tooting my own horn here, but it was a great prediction.
Toot toot.
I mean, Kenny Golladay really has become a number two receiver I said he was going to be. He now flips Marvin Jones as the number two receiver on that team. Yeah. It was true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward to, you know, X amount of weeks later, no Golden Tate. Marvin's gone. Everybody knows we're throwing to Kenny. Michael Roberts, who I was high as hell on, somehow cannot catch a football. He looks like Brandon Pettigrew and Eric Ebron.
Ebron this year.
Detroit Lions, Eric. If you say one more
That's
thing
two
about...
thus far. Once yeah. more, and Beetlejuice shows up.
That's two just thus far, Shooter. It's one of those things. I hate you. I mean, in that game, running across the middle, wide open, the ball bounced off his head. Didn't hit his hands. Didn't hit a defender. Bounced off his head. I've seen Justin make better catches running across the middle.
Hi-o.
Yeah.
I loved his confused look around afterwards. Like, what happened? Who hit me? The ball.
I think he thought he was playing football. Not to be confused with football.
He went for the header. That's fine. So, but now I ask you, being as good a quarterback as I think he is and as we've kind of said he is, what really can you expect out of Matt Stafford performing with a patched-together offense, offensive line, and receivers who would probably be on practice squads anywhere else but Detroit?
No picks. I don't want him to throw another goddamn interception for the rest of the year. If he does that and he completes more than half of his throws, congratulations, you survived another Detroit season. Like, that's all I can expect out of the man.
I think that's a really good point. I mean, look over in the division. Aaron Rodgers has as many interceptions as he has family members that he still talks to. One. Right? So let's see him limit the turnovers.
Thank you, Jordan.
And do something there.
Aaron's just cracking up because she loved that Bachelor. You wanted him to win, didn't you? Oh, no, she didn't like him. Okay.
Did you see Jordan taking shots at his brother on Twitter?
No, I tend to block most of them out.
Ooh,
that's fine.
It's good. Yeah. Go see that.
That is a petty family.
Ooh, very petty.
Well, we'll keep it moving along here. Looking to this week, I'm going to go out and just say it right now. We keep this game within two touchdowns and a field goal. As a Detroit Lions fan, you have to consider it a moral victory because we're going against, in my opinion, one of the top, as we've seen in Monday Night Football, one of the top two, three offenses in the NFL. I mean, Goff's got that team great. Todd Gurley is someone who we're going to talk here in a few minutes about potentially being NFL MVP. I have a guy, last name's Woods, who's just tearing it up for me.
Oh, good for you!
The Rams are a 75% favorite in this. Spread is 10.
Ooh, it went down to 10. It was at 11 when 10. I looked. Okay.
Over-under is 55.5. So clearly they don't think there's going to be a lot of defense in this game. I got to ask you guys. I mean, I think there's L's across the board here. But as we usually do, we kind of give a score and a synopsis here. Justin, what are you expecting to see out of this game? And give me a final.
The closest this score is ever going to be is right before kickoff. It's going to be 0-0 and we're still in the game somehow. The spread's at 55.5. Is that the line that they're putting up there? So
over under is 55.5.
I'll take
10.
I'll take the under because I think eventually the Rams just need to calm down, run the ball with Gurley. Gurley will probably get a couple touchdowns, but they can't just go all out air raid on us. I honestly think if the Lions can score 10 points, I would be happy. Even if we lose, if we score 10 points against the Rams. Great. Give Prater a field goal. Give, I don't know, a rushing touchdown. But I don't think we score more than 10. I think they house us, but at least like 40-10, something stupid.
Okay. Real quick, just because I love these odds and fun times. What is more likely? And I want you to answer this one too, but what's more likely, Jay? if the Rams win the coin toss and take the ball, they score on their first drive, or Aaron Donald has three sacks by himself in this game? I love these teasers, man. This is a good one.
There's no way we limit Aaron Donald to two sacks. No way. Stafford might get hurt in this game. We might be drafting a quarterback in Nashville.
Castle curse.
It Russ is onto something. He called it. I might just say Stafford dies this Sunday. That's the end of Stafford. To answer your question in all seriousness,
so you're gonna take the sacks?
No, I'm gonna take them winning the coin toss and scoring immediately in like two plays.
All right. So Jay goes 40-10 and takes Rams march down the field on first possession. Russ, where are you at with this one?
That was a hell of a misdirection. Talk about Stafford getting killed, and then I'll go with the other option. I think we'll go with the other option, too, because three sacks is a lot for an interior lineman. If anyone can do it, it's Aaron Donald, but I have exactly zero faith that they're going to be able to stop the Rams from scoring, especially at the beginning of the game before they start to ease off the gas. I think something like 35-13 makes sense. It's a... God, it's probably not going to be a very pretty game. And this offense looks so just void of heart, of soul right now. Go get the Rams defense if they're available.
Personally, I think Aaron Donald's one of the only guys you could actually say is in the conversation for NFL MVP just because of how good he is. I mean, he's the best player on the field when he steps on the field. And he plays on a team with some very good football players. I'm right with Russ. I'm going to say we get a little bit closer than that just because this is the Lions. They like to give us hope and then just rip our hearts out. I'm going to say 35-17. I'm going to say it's Prater Day. We're going to see a lot of kicks from Matt Prater. Blunt's going to get one. And I honestly think we're going to see like Powell or Ellington come up with a touchdown catch, because let's be honest, if you're the Rams, your game plan is to just grab Galladay, put him in a body bag, and just don't let him leave for the entire day. You double cover him, because if you double cover him, there's not a lot of other options. I mean, you're going to see a lot of Theo spread out in this one. Zenner and Blunt are going to be the running backs. So I'm going to go with the sacks. I'm going to say, because it's the Lions, Rams will win the coin toss, and the Lions will do what they do best. They'll come up with a quick three and out and give us hope that, hey, maybe we can do this. And then the Rams will proceed to score on four straight possessions, something like that. That just seems to make sense. Or we'll come up with a big three and out, and then we'll either kick a field goal or whatever, and the very first play, they'll hand it off to Todd Gurley, and he'll go 80 yards untouched. It's just it's Lions fact. We've been around long enough that we know what to expect out of this team.
Can we parlay that with how many kicks Zerline misses? I feel like we haven't addressed the other team's kicker
going on. But the kickers are just strong. Maybe that's something I'll do for the next show. I'll look at the field goal percentage for the league. Extra point percentage for the league.
In Ford Field.
And versus Ford Field. I'll have that. Maybe we'll throw it up on Twitter before the next one.
Okay, right. So I'll give you a third one. So we have march down the field and score. Donald, three sacks. Or Zerline misses two field goals and or extra points. Do you want to change?
Yeah, I'm taking Zerline.
Zerline.
Our best defense has been long, hard, and yellow all year long.
A yellow submarine? Are we going with the Beatles? Is that what that is?
Yes.
No, okay.
Russ, are you changing? Or are you going to stay where you're at?
I'm going to stay where I'm at. Greg the Leg's got more in him than to miss two.
I'm with you, Russ. I'm not changing, but I'm not going to lie. That's a good one. The uprights are the uprights are about the only thing good going on in Detroit right now. So that's where we're at. It's an L across the board. I mean, anyone who takes the Lions to win this one is either smoking the good stuff or just hasn't watched Lions football this year. Now, Justin, as I said earlier, this is why we don't let you do the segues. I'm going to show you what a good segue is like. Speaking of the uprights, let's move to play of the week, where my play of the week has something to do with the involvement of the uprights. Plays of the week this week are great. Three top tier ones. Justin, you brought my boy Tommy B in, and that's always a good thing. You know how I feel about him. He's just the best. He's so much fun to watch. Russ. Russ went with the acrobat of the NFL. It was a great play. I'll lead off this week just because I think this is one of the coolest plays I've seen in a while. Denver's, I believe he's a safety. I'm pretty sure he's a safety. I don't remember his first name because I don't do my due diligence.
Last Bob.
Bob Simmons, if you want to call him that, sure. Richard Simmons.
I am fairly certain it is not Richard Simmons.
Not Richard Simmons. But this guy hurdles the entire line and blocks a field goal against Pittsburgh. And to me, that's just one hell of a play. That is quite fun to watch. So here's my play of the week.
Big anomaly on the board. It's 48-yard field goal. Simmons came over the line and blocked it. Turned it for a touchdown back on that occasion. And that's the fourth block kick of the year.
All right, so moving on. Next is Justin, who, you know what, I thought about a way to set this up, but there's no better way to set it up than just letting Justin set this play up. So, Justin, tell us what your play of the week was.
So this has nothing to do with Tom Brady. What happens in this play is that the Jets are on defense, and there's a flag, and they have the choice of leaving the Pats at 4-2 or driving the ball back 10 yards and going to 3-12. And what do they do? They give a guy named Thomas another down to play with, and immediately what happens is Gronk gets his first touchdown in, I think, like 8-9 weeks, something stupid like that. I don't care who the quarterback is. I don't care if it's Andy Dalton. I don't care if it's Matt Stafford. It was Tom Brady. You don't give him another opportunity. You bring the ball closer into your end zone. You leave it 4th-and-2. Let them kick a field goal. A field goal, last time I checked, is less points than a touchdown.
Good math, Justin.
You might need to find out, maybe do some research on that.
Well, let me pull up. Yep, 7 is greater than 3.
Okay, problem solved. Why are you giving Tom Brady another down? So that's the play. It's more so the failure in the aptitude of the Jets, more so than Thomas getting another touchdown.
All right, here's Justin's play of the week.
White will flank him, shifting from the outside. 3rd and long for New England. Deep drop, Brady deep ball, looking for Gronkowski. He's got it! Touchdown, Patriots! Gronk is back.
Watch Gronkowski right down the middle of the field, splitting the two deep coverage.
All right. And last play of the week comes from a really cool play. Like when Russ sent me the text describing the play so I could go look for it, I'm thinking in my head, this can't be how he described it. But yes, it is how he describes it. The guy's first name is Chris, correct?
Correct.
Chris Carson, correct. A running back for Seattle, literally flips in the middle of a play and lands it. Doesn't progress much further than that, but it's just so cool. So here's Russ's play of the week, and then we'll let Russ give us the reason.
Here the interception in the end zone by McDougal, and now Seattle with Carson. Oh, goodness, he landed on his feet. He's still up.
In this play, Carson goes full flip and stays on his feet.
All right, Russ, so there's your play. I think it's pretty obvious, but why don't you tell us why you picked it?
Well, because it was, frankly, the only play that I had to stop and watch 3 or 4 more times because I had no idea, much like the 22 players on the field, what the hell had just happened. So Chris Carson jumps up the gut here, gets the first down, goes to hurdle a defender, gets his feet clipped, full front flip with a twist, sticks the landing, 8 out of 10 from the judges, 5 out of 10 from the German judge, and the play goes on. It was absolutely ridiculous how he manages to land this, have the presence of mind to not just crap himself, because that was the look on his face from how hard he got hit to flip him around. And it's been a long time since I've seen anything like that, and no one got hurt. So that was pretty unique, and I know it was the play that I was thinking about most come Tuesday morning.
It was a hell of a play. I would just like to point out, though, I am a little impressed. There were a lot of plays this week. I'm kind of impressed that no one took Juju Smith's 97-yard touchdown. I'm really impressed by that. I figured someone had to jump on that one.
I legitimately was considering it, but then it made me think about the 90-plus-yard touchdown he had against the Lions last year, and it made me sad all over. So
that'll do that.
I was too busy fantasizing on how Big Ben can lose more games at the goal line. So I was a little stuck on that because that was a terrible pass.
Well, he'd probably win more games if your waste of a time running back from Michigan State would just stop being a little baby and play football.
I don't know. James Conner, he beat cancer. He's beating all expectations. He's making people forget about Le'Veon Bell here.
Hey, guess where he went to college?
Pitt. Honest to God.
He did. He went to Pitt.
I think he went all 4 years, too.
Yeah, he did. He actually got a degree.
Mm-hmm. Go Birds.
No, he's a smart, resilient man.
Oh, you know what? And I'm happy to see him, though. I am happy to see a guy be productive, especially in that situation. I don't like the Steelers, but Le'Veon Bell left them high and dry and said, you know, screw you guys. And it could have turned out a lot worse, but hey, what do you know? They've actually got something productive. Lastly for this show, this one's going to be fun because I think we might actually have different answers, not just a consensus here. We're going to do our Before the Season is Over Awards of the Year. We're going to do NFL MVP, Offensive Rookie of the Year, and Defensive Rookie of the Year. So, Jay, I'll let you go first here. Who you taking in all three categories?
NFL MVP is going to be Patty Mahomes. He's third in total yards. From that, resulting from his abilities, Hunt is fifth in rushing, and Hill is third in receiving. And I've got no problem with that. Hill, being first in receiving touchdowns, is also tied with Eric Ebron at 11. So just need to throw that last...
Was that a knock at the door? I think a failed Detroit draft pick just showed up.
Yeah, it's interesting that we got Aaron Donald coming to town and Ebron's not here. Don't you love that draft? So, but I digress. Pat Mahomes, NFL MVP. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Saquon Barkley. The dude, like, when you look at his volume in terms of how many yards he's getting, he leads the league with 10 20-plus rushing attempts and 4 40-plus yard rushing, not even attempts, just successes, really. He's more efficient than any of the vets as of right now, and I like those stats with him. The last guy, which I think Russ and I are going to lock in together on, is Darius Leonard. He's a freak. The way I don't even look at his stats, because even though I did, I was watching videos of him. He's a rookie, and he sounds exactly how I want a veteran to sound on my team that's controlling the defensive side of the ball.
In this first one, I'm actually going to go with the current favorite from the Vegas odds, Drew Brees, for the NFL MVP. Does he lose a little luster because of Kamara and how spectacular he's been? Yeah, sure. But you also pointed to Hill and Hunt being able to carry some of the water in Kansas City as well. So it negates itself a little bit. But I'm going to look at this touchdown-interception ratio, 29-2, Drew Brees. That is a level of efficiency that... There's only one quarterback who has a better ratio right now. That's Aaron Rodgers with his aforementioned one interception and 20 touchdowns. But he doesn't nearly have the yards. He doesn't nearly have the wins or the success that Drew Brees has been having. So, hey, would I love to see Drew Brees win the NFL MVP, maybe win a little Super Bowl right off into the sunset? Yeah, maybe I would. Maybe that's part of this. I think it's definitely between the two of them. And you can't really go wrong with either. Offensive Rookie of the Year, I'm also going with Barkley. He's got 829 rushing yards. He's got 581 receiving yards, 12 total touchdowns. For an offense that also has Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley is the only piece that's working right now at an elite level that you would expect out of both of them. And even though that's a garbage Giants team, he is dragging them to any wins that they get. Defensive Rookie of the Year, yep, Darius Leonard, leading the NFL with those 114 tackles, 17 more than the next closest guy. And he's got 6 sacks, which is only 3 less than Nick Chubb, his fellow defensive rookie, who's leading the defensive rookies for sacks, really.
Do you mean Bradley Chubb?
I do mean Bradley Chubb.
Just making sure.
Thank you. I messed him up in the draft.
You did, yeah.
I messed him up, I think, in the season preview. I've completed the trifecta. Thank you for that.
Truth be told, I wouldn't have caught that unless I literally was just scrolling through to remember where the guy I was looking for was drafted. So,
hey, when you got Chubbs on the brain, sometimes you're going to mix your Chubbs up.
And that's fair. But last 15 years, more inside linebackers have won the Defensive Rookie of the Year than any other position. 6 of them. So we're going to make that 7. Darius Leonard's my pick.
All right. I was wrong. We're not going to differ very much out of this. NFL MVP's Drew Brees. Because I said before the show started to Jay, the Saints are winning the Super Bowl this year. They're my pick to win the Super Bowl this year. Big game tonight against Dallas. I think if they put up some numbers against Dallas, it's going to be hard to beat them. Drew Brees, NFL MVP, with the year he's having and the records he's setting, that would be awesome to see. Saquon Barkley is the obvious choice. So I agree with you. But I'm going to put a different name in there, and I'm going to put a little caveat in that name. I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield, but I'm going to go with a Baker Mayfield, or I'm going to go with a Hugh Jacksonless Baker Mayfield, because the numbers he was putting up since going against, or since Hugh Jackson got fired, they're great numbers. They're elite numbers. He's got a run support in Nick Chubb.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem. Who's playing great. I feel like there's not a lot of Landry this year, but enough.
Surprisingly.
I can't remember the guy's name. This, by the way, is the coolest play ever. I'm sitting here talking while watching TV. It's been a big year. Saquon Barkley is the obvious choice. He's having a hell of a year. Like you said, he's the only good thing going for that Giants team right now. But I'm going to say Baker Mayfield is right there. If you're going to do the voting, he's got to be in there because he's made that Cleveland team, while their record isn't phenomenal, he's made that Cleveland team relevant again, and you're starting to wonder what one or two more draft pieces are going to do in the way of that team. This team is legitimately one that could potentially be a competitive team next year. So we'll see what happens. I don't agree with you guys on the defensive side. I'm taking someone who, for me, has passed the eye test and is a fellow linebacker. He was drafted a little bit higher than your guy. I'm going to go with Roquan Smith. I'm going to take Roquan Smith from the Bears.
Go Dogs. That's my boy.
I'm going to take Roquan Smith from the Bears. And I think a lot of it is he's benefiting from being on a field with Khalil Mack. But the guy has just stepped up. He's played great football. You hear his name multiple times. And so I just think, are the numbers there to back it up? Maybe not as much. But he's 100% tested by passing the eye test. He's a hell of a football player. And pretty soon you're going to hear his name mentioned in the breath with Khalil Mack of linebackers you have to plan for.
Well, his first play in the NFL was a sack. Yeah, that was my play of the week in week one. Like, or I think it was week two when he finally showed up and played. But no, that's I can't argue that. He's a G.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. Another great one. There was a lot to talk about this week, and something tells me there's going to be a lot more to talk about next week, depending on how this week in sports goes. My thanks, as always, to Justin Marcus. Appreciate you taking the time, buddy.
Anytime, man. If we could talk about birds and dogs all day long, and I'm all here for it.
I'm more concerned if you'd be able to classify a bird from a dog. That's what's worrying me most. Russ Ivanak, the stats are always the best. This dude really does make us sound a lot smarter than we are, Jay.
My back hurts. But seriously, no, it's a lot of fun, and look forward to it all week. Hopefully you guys do, too. If you do, leave us a review. You know, we're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. Always love a five-star review. Let us know on Twitter what you think.
Sounds good. And I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks. No one's corrected me. Until they can find someone better, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. That's one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.